Learn Persian with Chai and Conversation, Rumi's Divanesho, an introduction with Farid Shafinuri. Salam be hamegi. We're here with Farid Shafinuri to talk about a really lovely Rumi poem. Salam Faridjan.
Durud.
For those of you who have been with us for a long time, Farid is a long time friend of the show. He wrote and composed our theme music. We've done several poetry lessons together and a lot of collaborations together. So I'm excited after a few years of hiatus to be back doing this poetry lesson together. So thank you so much, Farid, for doing this.
It's good to be back, Layla. It's good to be back with all of your lovely listeners.
Yeah, so we're calling this series, this is the first of the series, called the Radif Retreat series. So first of all, tell us, what is Radif Retreat?
Radif Retreat is my online school of classical Persian music. It's the online institute of classical Persian music, and we call it the Radif Retreat because Radif is the name of the immaculate collection of Persian rhythms and melodies in a 12 series of modal system that we have. And classical Persian music is at the heart of it. And retreat we call because we get together once or twice a year in beautiful locations, and we study and we create music, and we have a concert by the end of the week. So it's a year-long program, and it's lovely to bring it to Chai and Conversation finally.
That's right. And Farid and I have had a very long history of collaboration, and what we do goes really well together. So the music classes that Farid has are all about community, connection, and understanding culture through music, through poetry. And that goes hand in hand with what we do at Chai and Conversation, which is exactly the same goals: community building, learning this culture, this beautiful culture through the language. So this Radif Retreat series of poetry is another collaboration together so that we can pursue these same goals. So that's wonderful. So either you are watching this as a video or you're listening to it as an audio lesson. But if you can see on my screen, we have a booklet that Farid put together for his show this last summer, in summer of 2022, at the Getty Museum, where he put several Rumi poems to music. He translated them, produced this booklet. Can you tell us more about this Getty show?
Yeah, it was an honor to work with the Getty Museum in Los Angeles. And this last summer, I was invited to be a part of a series called Persia After Hours. We were actually the first musicians to play at the Getty Villa and their outdoor Greek Roman amphitheater. And it was a lovely evening with a beautiful community of Iranians and non-Iranians coming to celebrate our culture, but also celebrate what our culture has always stood for, which is an essence of radical inclusion and love. And every time we read Rumi's poetry, we always feel this unabashed sense of falling in love all over again. And my goal was to bring this message of love and inclusion through the words of Rumi, through music and dance. And we were happy to get together that night with all of Los Angeles.
And with your graphic designer, you put together this book as well. Can you say who's your graphic designer, who's also a longtime collaborator of yours?
Oh, yeah. And also Kurush Baikpur, which is a dear, dear friend of mine. Him and I have been working together for almost a decade, where he's done these beautiful graphics that bring my work to life on paper. As you can see here, this booklet called Mashur, or Beloved, which was the name of the show. He has done a beautiful job with calligraphy, and I'm sure if you look through the entire booklet, you'll see the immaculate detail work that he does.
And as an introduction to this poem that we're going to be going over today, and an introduction to why Rumi was such a central figure to this series, could you read the introduction to the show that you have in the beginning of the book?
Throughout history, there have been beacons who light the way for others to follow. Rumi is one of them. He writes of a limitless, eternal love that is all-encompassing and void of judgment. His yearning for the beloved mirrors our most basic yearnings for love, for the awe and majesty of nature, and for the deepest, most intimate relationships we cultivate throughout our lives. Centuries of classical Persian poetry have explored this boundless love. This concert is dedicated to this ancient wisdom that still survives and reverberates today. Let's celebrate a history of inclusion, documented through poetry, and live in the spirit of the now, embracing the essence of unabashed love.
And you use that word inclusion and all-encompassing a lot. What did you mean by that? Can you expand on that a little?
Well, the concept of the beloved, whenever we come up, when we hear that word in Rumi or in Hafiz or Sa'di, it really evokes this feeling that this is a lover. This is a physical form lover, like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or someone that you think they're having a romantic relationship with. But yet the way that it's expressed, it also has a divinity behind it. So the personification of the love for the divine through a physical relationship and how they're one and the same really brings about this essence of inclusion and not non-judgment. So for me, I dedicated this message of Rumi in the month, the Pride month of June last summer, to bring about this air of non-judgment and allowing people to be and love whoever they want to love, and to use Rumi as that radical acceptance, that radical relinquishing of the self and devotion of this love, and not allowing society to make you feel otherwise. So for me, bridging these words of Rumi to today's society and our today's problems as we see in Iran, woman, life, freedom is the slogan, the words that has taken all of our hearts and minds with it. And I believe that this is, you know, been in our culture. We have been a free and proud people, and our poetry is there to show that.
Wonderful. Absolutely. So then to introduce today's poem, so this is Tasnife Oshar. And first, let's talk about the title of the poem. And also, you yourself translated the works in this booklet. So you translated the works of Rumi. Can you tell us a little bit about your translations?
Well, my translations oftentimes take on the form of a pro, where I'm sort of like slam poetry, just going off on a long sentence, just image after image, and trying to express the width of these metaphors and the dual meanings behind them. But sometimes they're also very lyrical. So in Rumi's case, I can go either one or two ways. I have two of his poems that I've translated in this specific in this booklet, where one of them is in a form of a pro, and the other is very lyrical because of that repetition and the rhythmic essence that goes behind his trance-like way of creating poetry. So I think the poem that you have chosen for us to talk about today is Tasnife Oshar, and the word tasnif I have in the footnotes of this booklet as a term referring to a ballad. And Oshag is the plural form of Ashiq. Ashiqan is another way of saying the lovers. Oshag is a more classical term and an older term for to say the lovers.
Wonderful. And so what we'll be doing in this lesson is that Thaid will be reading the Persian. I will be reading his translation right afterwards, and we'll talk about the essence and meaning behind the poem. In subsequent lessons, I'll be going over the poem word by word, phrase by phrase, and teaching you how to use the words and phrases in this poem in everyday conversation. So it is my favorite way to teach the Persian language. And it's also, with talking with Thaid, we're also going to learn about the musicality of the poem, the rhythm of the poem, and that's going to really add to our understanding of the poem as well. So without further ado, let us go to the poem, Tasnife Oshar.
حیلت رها کن عاشقا دیوانه شو دیوانه شو
Dear lovers, it's time to let go of your games. Be crazy, I say.
وندر دل آتش درا پروانش و پروانش و.
Enter your heart's inferno, be the moth to the flame.
هم خیش را بیگانه کن, هم خانه را ویرانه کن.
Abandon this loveless society, vacate your homes of shame.
وانگه بیا با عاشقان, هم خانه شو, هم خانه شو.
Join all of the other lovers, live with the insane.
رو سینه را چون سینه ها, هفت آب شو از کینه ها.
Go and wash your heart of any grudgeful pain.
وانگه شراب عشق را پیمانه شو, پیمانه شو.
Do not just drink the wine of the lovers, be also the chalice that it contains.
باید که جمله جان شوی تا لایق جانان شوی.
Do not just mingle with the spirit, allow the beloved to flow through your veins.
گر سوی مستان می روی, مستانه شو, مستانه شو.
For if you approach these drunkards down at the taverns, go and be drunk. Be drunk, I say.
It's truly the only way to approach a drunkard down at the tavern. We know this at our Austin local Justine's bar.
That's right. Okay, so tell us just the general idea. I think as someone who just hears the poem, first of all, I hope you heard all that repetition that was happening as if you're just going in this circle. It's a little hard when we keep interrupting it with the English translation, but Fadi, what are your initial things that you want us to notice about this poem?
Well, to throw back to our first Rumi poem you and I did, Ruz o Shab, we remember that there was this repetition within that poem. So this is really a hallmark characteristic of how Rumi draws in his listeners through this trance that he creates with the repetition. If we can just focus, for example, the endings of these lines, divanisho, divanisho, parvanisho, parvanisho, hamkhanisho, hamkhanisho, peymanisho, peymanisho, and finally with the last, mastanisho, mastanisho. So that right there is part of the musicality of how lyrical these poems are. So if we start off with how we're going to read this to really fall into a rhythm or a rhythmic cycle. Again, these can be expressed rhythmically in different ways depending on where you're stressing in the poem. But one of the plays in classical Persian poetry is on the consonants versus the vowels. And if you notice with my hand gesture, I tighten up with the consonant, and with the vowel I express and I elongate. So one of the ways you can really fall into the musicality of Persian classical music, we start off with the first line, and we could do this as an example. Hilat raha kun ashiqa. So let's just focus on those few words. Hilat raha. So with the word raha, it ends with an alif, raha. That allows you to really express yourself and stretch that vowel. Hilat raha kun ashiqa. So here we're seeing that it's repeating itself. Divanisho, divanisho. Vandar dile atash dara parvanisho, parvanisho. Understanding where these vowels sit within the lines with these poems, and if you read them at first, I'm sure you're going to be rusty going through it slowly. But over time, as you practice this to bring a musical sense to it, you'll notice that these vowels will pick up on themselves and you're going to fall right into it. Ham khish ra, again with khish. Now we have the ye in the middle of the term khish. Here we're in the second bait. Ham khish ra bigane kun, ham khane ra virane kun. Vangah biya ba aashiqan. So now I'm going to keep a meter. We're going to try this with a meter. One, two, ready, and حیلت رها کن عاشقا دیوانه شو دیوانه شو وندر دل آتش درا پروانه شو پروانه شو 1 2 3 4 5 6 1 2 3 4 5 6 So this falls into a 6-8 rhythm. 1 2 3 4 5 6 1 2 3 4 5 6
همخیش را ویگانه کن همخانه را ویرانه کن وانگه بیا با عاشقان همخانه شو همخانه شو پیمانه شو پیمانه شو دیوانه شو دیوانه شو
So here you notice how the rhythm really just pops out after you focus on where these vowels are and where the consonants sort of close in.
Yeah, that wasn't what I was expecting when you started the rhythm. That's interesting. So I think for someone who doesn't understand the language at all, you can listen to what Faid was saying, just understanding the rhythm of this, and you get a sense of the poem a bit, even if you don't understand all the words. And that's one of the beauties of it. And this has been also sung on by a lot of different singers as well, right?
Yes, it's a very famous poem of Rumi, and actually one of the more memorable versions was sung by a Tajiki artist from Tajikistan, and with his most endearing and sweet accent, his Tajiki accent, they sing this very beautifully.
Which, yeah, we'll link to that too so that you can listen to it. But going into the language aspect, let's read the first line. There's a lot to talk about language-wise in this poem. So can you read just that first line again?
حیلت رها کن عاشقا دیوانه شو دیوانه شو وندر دل آتش
Well, again. Okay, so even, no, just that first line. So let's even talk about what does the word شو mean? Like دیوانه شو, what does that mean? We see that all throughout this poem. So let's start there.
So the term sho is to be, to become.
Right. And it's shortened from besho. So become. Besho, exactly. So you become. So it's talking about this. Well, actually, it's talking about the concept of ashira. What does ashira mean? You've translated it as lovers.
If you so dare to be a lover, then this is how you must be. You must relinquish your tricks. You must relinquish your games. You must relinquish your shame. You must wash your heart of all grudgeful pain. So here, Rumi is addressing society. He's addressing people who claim to be in love, people who claim to have a relationship with the divine, people who claim to be good Samaritans. And again, it can really lend itself to so many ways of understanding connection, either to the divine or to a physical love. And here, Ashira really is addressing everyone.
So the direct translation of Ashira is lovers, but we really don't have this concept in the English language, which is the first example in this poem of why it's so important to know a language or a poem in its original language. When you say lovers in English, it doesn't pertain to everyone. Not everyone can be a lover. Like, what is that? I guess sometimes you say like, oh, he's a lover, she's a lover. You can kind of use it in language, but like you're saying, it's saying in this poem, Ashira is this class of people who have chosen to be lovers. They love.
Right. And for me, the closest thing in America would be the Transcendentalist movement with Henry David Thoreau, for example. When I read Walden Pond, for example, the way he addressed society is very much similar to the way Rumi addresses society. And this concept of being a lover in Persian does really demarcate us in a way, because Iranians really pride themselves on being lovers, you know, and not just in a physical sense or in an earthly sense, but this this connection we have with the divine, with the essence of being in the moment, you know, and I think Rumi here is basically saying, well, if you see yourself as a lover, then you must relinquish these tricks and these masks that you've beholden yourself to. And here in this poem, you see that he goes through each line and he's hitting you with a show, basically giving you advice.
Giving you instruction. So then divanisho. So right now in the English language, like, so you're saying be crazy, A lot of times, you know, they say don't use this type of language, like becoming crazy. But in this poem, divanisho, the concept of being divane is not just going crazy, like becoming mentally ill. It's not a bad thing. It's saying it in a positive way, become crazy. And that means losing your ego, right? Losing your sense of self.
Well, it's because in the society that we live in, when you are pure to the essence of who you are, when you have become childlike, essentially, you are honest, you are authentic, you are very much unabashed, as this term has been coming up. And Rumi is saying, essentially, it's almost a bit satirical when they say divanisho. They're being a little bit sarcastic in the sense of like, yeah, be crazy, because that's how everybody else will see you. But by being crazy, right, you're actually being the most authentic to yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so now let's look at the next line.
Vandar dile otash daro parvanisho, parvanisho. And here, this motif, this metaphor of the moth to the flame appears again. Vandar dile otash daro. So within the heart of this inferno, come out as the flame. Essentially, there is a... You're so devoted to your love that you will enter the fire of this. You will burn. So this relationship of ma'shuq va'ashiqan really plays itself out in the terms of a moth and a flame, right?
Right.
So the flame is the ma'shuq, which is the beloved, and right, the moth is the ashiq. This is why he says, be crazy, be a moth to the flame. Because the moth, all sense of like, I'm about to burn, leaves the moth's mind, because he's so entrapped by the light. He's so in love. He's so enamored by this that nothing could get between him or her to this devotion of the light. So here when he says, Vandar dile otash daro, parvanisho, parvanisho, it also evokes an idea of the phoenix, because you're coming out of the flame. So here Rumi is really messing with you by giving you this metaphor of the moth to the flame, but he's also saying that no, you're not really burning, you're going to come out of the flame as
that's
the moth.
That's the freeing agency, is being the parvanisho. You fly by parvanisho. Then par is literally a wing, so get wings from this flame.
Yes.
All right. Next.
Ham khish ra bigane kun, ham khane ra virane kun. So here he says, ham khish ra bigane kun. Here I've translated as abandon this loveless society, vacate your homes of shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a more literal translation is, ham khish ra bigane kun. See the self as the stranger. Ham khish ra, khish the self, mm-hmm, bigane kon, mm-hmm, stranger. Turn the familiar to the stranger. It's basically saying turn your world upside down. Every sense that you had of what was correct, turn it around, shake it up a little bit. Ham khish ra bigane kon, ham khane ra virane kon. And then your home, turn your home to the outside.
Hamkhane, the person, hamkhane is your roommate, like the, right? Or is it saying hamkhane ra?
Hamkhane ra. So your home.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Hamkhish ra bigane kun, hamkhane ra virane kun.
I see. Okay. I was taking it as hamkhish and hamkhane, but it says ham also, ham in the terms of also. So also yourself be gone and your home be gone.
But as you know, Layla, in Persian poetry, these dual meanings exist.
Right.
So you will see, maybe not with this specific line, but you will see many different Iranians interpreting these poems in ways that are somehow not congruent with one another. But
right.
But
right,
in my interpretation, and as many that I've taken note from and I've done research, it says, Ham khish ra bigane kon, Or chish doesn't necessarily mean yourself. It could be the people around you, or the people that are most familiar with you. You know, ham chisha, or it could be your own race. It could be your own, whatever it is you're identifying with that you become comfortable with in your bubble. Let it go and go be with the others. Anything that has been
destruction. Yeah. This is all just about destruction.
Absolutely.
Like, let it go. Destruct.
Yeah. Let go of your comforts. Let go of your comfort zone. So if you're agoraphobic, leave your house and go into the desert. Ham chish ra bigane kun. هم خانه را ویرانه کن وانگه بیا با عاشقان هم خانه شو. Come.
Aha.
Go and live with the... This is where هم خانه is someone who lives with, right?
Yes. Okay. This is a dual meaning. So هم خانه in the first. So هم is a word that means like also, equal. And we use it often with different words. Like... Hamkar is your co-worker, so it can mean co. So hamkhane could be your co-liver, your housemate. So in the first part, he's saying hamkhane, even your house also, be gone from your house. Evict your house. And then in the second case, it's saying it the way I interpreted it the first time, which is hamkhaneisho, go become one with the others, live in the same home as the others.
And this verb virane kardan, to turn something virane, means to basically to go away from, virane shod. And we see that term often used by expats of Iranians that live outside of Iran. Migan, our country is now virane, meaning that what was once our khane is now our virane. It's right. The antithesis to khane, meaning it's no longer a home. It's some place that we have now expelled. We're expelled from. We're no longer. We don't go back to that because our house has been taken away from us. So we see that used often. So ham khish ra bigane kon, ham khane ra virane kon, vangah bia ba ashghan ham khane sho.
So this is that word again. The lovers, ashiqan, come become one with the lovers. Those, that class of society that has chosen love.
Right. And the first line, he's addressing the lovers, people who claim to be the lovers. And then in the second bait, he's addressing to those supposed lovers that, no, go live with the lovers. Leave your home. Leave anything that you, your familiarities, and go to the other side.
All right. Okay, next.
رو سینه را چون سینه ها هفتاب شو از کینه ها. Here we have, my translation is, go and wash your heart of any grudgeful pain.
رو سینه را چون سینه ها هفتاب شو از کینه ها.
So here, when they say رو سینه را, go to your heart, take your heart, رو, go.
رو سینه را چون سینه ها هفت آب شو از کینه ها.
Essentially saying, take your heart and go wash it. Now the concept of هفت آب شو is seven. It's a number that he's using here. There is a lot of meanings behind this number seven. It pops up in the terms of the seven levels of the sky, the seven stages of heaven. Even pre-Islamic, the term seven comes up in Zoroastrianism quite often as well, the different levels of heaven and that exist. And you see this here saying, haft ab shu askina ha. Wash your heart of the seven. You must go through those seven levels, stages, to really relinquish yourself of any grudge. Wash your heart, right? Mm-hmm. Askina ha. Kine meaning grudge.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a kine, that means I have a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
وانگه شراب عشق را پیمانه شو.
But take the wine of love and don't just drink it.
پیمانه شو.
پیمانه is the cup in which you pour the wine. So here, Rumi is also saying you must be the vessel.
Vessel, exactly. So So this word, you'll see it in havapaimah, for example. Havapaimah is a vessel in the sky. So this is saying paimah nisho, become a vessel.
Exactly. Paimah nisho. Vangah sharab ishq ra paimah nisho. Don't just drink the wine, but be the chalice that contains.
Wonderful. Okay, the last two lines.
Bayad ke jumle jan shavi ta layeq janan shavi.
So this line was a more enigmatic one for me that I had to really sit with more than the others, because this idea of jumle jan, to be bayad, you must, bayad ke, you must jumle jan shavi, you must become jumle jan.
So this idea of jumle jan, I sat with it for a little bit and I spoke to some authorities, and this idea means, jumle jan means you must discipline yourself to arrive at this purity. Jumle jan shodan means the sentence of life, jumle jan, but here the meaning of it, I've translated as, do not just mingle with the spirit. So something about a divine higher essence of a spirit of the self, right? Bayad ke jumle jan shavi, you must essentially become the spirit. Ta layeq janan shavi, in order to be worthy of the spirit. Layeq is to be worthy. Man layeq hastam, I am worthy, right? Ta layeq janan shavi, right? Bayad ke jumle jan shavi, ta layeq janan shavi. Gar suy mastan miravi, mastane sho. Mastanisho. And I love that line because it's saying
it. So good.
Yeah. And if you choose to go hang out with those that are sitting at the bar, don't go there preaching to them of anything else. Go be them. Essentially, many people say that if Christ were alive today, he would be hanging out with those that are drinking and that are having problems in the streets and whatnot. And essentially, I find that this is very similar. I think Rumi would have been hanging out with different levels of the society that most people probably shun today.
Right. But yeah, it's saying, you know, you're gar suye. Suye means to be in search of, right? It's like a very, it's a very active process of searching for these drunkards. So it's saying if you are searching for the drunkards, become drunk yourself, become drunk yourself. And that takes us back to the very first line of divanisho, divanisho. So divanishodan is losing yourself in craziness, whereas masanishodan is losing yourself in drunkenness. And they're very similar concepts in this, like in this Sufi tradition that we're reading.
Yeah, because really the truest expression of love is one in which you don't hold back and you don't judge yourself. And you live void of judgment. You go forward. And Rumi here, very beautifully and lyrically, is bringing us into a trance. And maybe if we can, we can share with our lovely listeners here of the actual concert in which we performed
this. Absolutely. That's a big part of this. We'll definitely have that footage on here so that we can see the choreography. Like you said, it's all tied hand in hand. The way you sing it, the mode that you sing it in.
Right, yes. And the booklet itself here, Kurush Bekpur has done such a beautiful job with its graphics. And I'm sure we can share elements of that so people can follow along. But definitely, I think one of the hallmark characteristics that I think I want people to walk away from is how musical Rumi is.
Right. And as you learn to memorize this poem, as you start to recite this yourself, and we'll have the audio of Farid reciting this poem as well with the correct rhythm on the website, so you can listen to that over and over again as you learn it. It does put you into a trance as you're reading it, and you do get this sense of losing yourself as you're reading the poem, which is one of the beauties of this poem.
Right, and obviously today You had said earlier that you were surprised when it fell into a 6-8 rhythm. I do want to say that this can be expressed, for example, in a 7-8 rhythm. It can be expressed in a 4-4 rhythm. And we could probably talk about these various ways of how rhythm can change depending on how you read something.
Absolutely. But yeah, I was excited about this because I do think that the repetition you know, the divan isho. This is a becoming is such an important concept in any language. You always learn the verb to be. And this is a really beautiful example of taking that verb to be, to giving commands to another person and using it to command someone to lose themselves. What better command is there than that?
Absolutely.
So as always, we are going to continue the lessons on this poem. We're going to go through it word by word, line by line. The more you understand the words and phrases in this poem, the more it will uncover itself to you. The more you recite it, the more the meaning will uncover itself to you. And as Farid started this tradition on this website of read this poem in a beautiful location, send it to us. And we have our videos of all of our students. And now we have this new community group where we have videos of all of our students reading these beautiful poems, which is very exciting.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, so Faijan, thank you so much for the first of our Radif Retreat lessons. And on our website, every time that you see that setar symbol next to a lesson, you know that it's from the Radif Retreat series that we're doing. So thank you so much, Faijan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.